Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
And in the book of Ephesians, we've been working our way through it, and we are going to wrap up the exact halfway point today, which is chapter 3. There's 6 chapters in Ephesians, and now 2 months in, we're halfway through. So you can kind of get a bearing on how much longer we'll be in Ephesians. We'll take a little break for Easter. But we're going to wrap up Ephesians chapter 3 today. And Paul ends Ephesians chapter 3 with kind of a written prayer of what his heart is and what his prayer is for this church and for this group of people. And so that is what we'll read starting in verse 14 of Ephesians 3. So if you have a Bible, turn with me to Ephesians 3. Chapter 3, verse 14. If not, it'll be up here on the screen. So Ephesians 3, starting in verse 14, Paul writes this. It's for this reason that I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray. God, as we are moving into a time where we're opening up scripture and trying to seek to be faithful to hear what you're saying through that, God, would you allow that to take place? Would you allow the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts collectively be acceptable and pleasing to you. May you speak to us and move us this morning. In your name we pray. Amen. So right here at the beginning, Paul does something kind of interesting, and I'm just going to flash to it just to help us drive home a point that we saw in Ephesians 2 and Ephesians 3, and it was this idea of unity. And you don't have to read the Bible very much or be a biblical scholar to know that there was some distance in relationship between what the Bible refers to as Gentiles or anybody who was not Jewish in the Jewish community. In fact, you don't need to even open up a Bible to see that. You could probably just flip on the news, right? We still see some of that discord today. But if you read through any portion of Scripture, you see this kind of theme happen throughout the Old Testament, the New Testament. And Paul is saying, because Christ, and this is what he said at earlier part of chapter 3, but that Jesus brought unity to these two groups, what he kept a mystery all this time, he's now revealed in Christ. He's given us a new covenant, and now together there is unity. And these two groups who were separate and who were apart are now one in Christ. And Paul kind of, not underhandedly, but just reiterates that. But we kind of overlook it a little bit, because at the beginning of that, he says, for this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. And that wasn't what most Jewish folks would say. That we're God's people. We're the family of God. Our name's derived from God. Everybody else is outside of that, and they don't even get in. And Paul says, no. And Jesus, we all get in. In fact, in Romans, he writes, it was through the seed of Abraham. And he even reiterates, not the seeds, not all of us together, not me and you, and he's writing to a Jewish community, but not us, that it comes out of, but from the one seed that was Jesus Christ, all nations are saved. And he's bringing that up again. And he's saying, through you, through Christ, all families derive their name from God. And it's to this God that I kneel for you. And then he goes on and says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. Now we're going to bring this up later because it comes up again, but I just want to point out to it right now. this prayer, the beginning of the prayer in verse 16 says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being. Remember that, because what he's praying in verse 17, he says this, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. He doesn't say that I pray that your mind can intellectually wrap around who Jesus is or what God's done and allow you to be able to make this decision, right? He doesn't say, I hope that your pastor is a good enough communicator that you're able to be convicted enough to come to Christ. And he says, no, it doesn't come through anything other than the power of Christ that gives you the ability to know the love of Christ. We know the love of Christ not because we're that smart or that observant or even that good, but it's only through the power of Christ. And Paul's saying, I pray that you understand that power. In fact, husbands and wives, moms and dads, anybody in here who has any close relationship in their life of someone who doesn't yet know the love of Christ, this is a great prayer to pray. Not, God, may they know your love. We do want that. God, may they have your power to even know your love. May they experience that power to know the love of God. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And so, for this I pray, that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with the Lord's holy people to grasp this thing about how wide and long and high and deep is the love of God. Again, it relies on God's power for us to even know the love of God. Paul spends a lot of this letter to the church in Ephesus kind of talking about our need before God, which honestly is the one thing that keeps standing out to me every week as I read this. And I don't know if you guys have been doing this or not, but every week I put it in the newsletter and I encourage you to. And if you haven't yet, we probably got like another month and a half or 2 months in Ephesians. I'd encourage you every week that we read it. What I'm encouraging people to do is just read one chapter every day. It takes me about 5 minutes for that one chapter. So every week I'm reading the entire book of Ephesians, and look, the one thing that keeps standing out more than a lot. There's two themes that I keep seeing. One is the love of God, and the other one is the depravity of man. Like, there's nothing that I can even do to know it. Like, I grew up in a congregation and in a setting. Growing up as a Christian kid, it was easy for me to look down on people who didn't yet believe like I believe, because I just thought, man, just go to church and figure it out, man. Just go to church and learn it. Hear it. And that was my kind of my model for how I wanted to help my friends, because I didn't necessarily care about the power of prayer. I cared about the power of distributing this knowledge to them, right? That was what I did. And some of you guys may have grown up in a time where you remember even the evangelism explosion, where you go door to door and knock on people's houses. Anybody remember that? I did that as a kid. It was not the funnest part of my childhood. But the whole idea was that you would kind of walk them through these certain scriptures, and most of them came from Romans, and he just wants you to understand this, and now let's pray a prayer. You know, if you die tonight, you know where you're going. That kind of thing. We've all kind of heard that. But as I read Ephesians, I kind of see in like Paul's heart, who was for this group of people who were not Jewish and did not know Christ, did not even know that there was a coming Messiah, because they didn't care, right? They didn't know Yahweh. His idea was never to, as I'm reading this every week, is not to like distribute this knowledge to them. It's just like, it's God's power that's going to change who you are and the way you think and what you do. And so for me, as a person who shares an office currently with people who don't yet know Christ, my prayer has shifted to, God, help them to know your power. Help them to understand, like, through your power, may they see the love of Christ. But I'm going to back up. Because Paul does say this thing at the beginning, that he says, you who were rooted and established in love may understand this thing about how wide and high and deep. But he says, you being rooted and established in love. He's saying that is where your foundation is. Like, that was the genesis. When you go into a business established, you know, 1969, like, this is when we began. This is what it looked like. This was kind of the root. This was the foundation. This was the starting point. And Paul's saying for us, that starting point is the love of God. That you being rooted and established in love. That is where we begin. And as a church, if we want to have any influence in the community, as a person, if we have any influence for our family, we have to understand that our root, that our establishment, where we started from, our foundation is in love. And I just read an article about a pastor, and he's in his 70s now. And he moved in 1989 from Philadelphia to New York City to pastor a small Presbyterian church. It has since grown to one of the largest churches in New York City, about 7,000 people. It's called Redeemer Presbyterian. And the pastor of that church is kind of a known author at this point in his 70s on theology and different points. And his name is Tim Keller. So if you've ever heard anything about Tim Keller, that's who he is, right? And he was talking about his hope now that he's kind of leaving Redeemer as the kind of acting weekend communicator and pastor of what does it look like for us to start a church in every neighborhood in New York City. And as he talks about that, he talked about the only way that's going to happen because people are so turned off in the Northeast in general, but also in New York City, is through love. He's like, we have to get into these neighborhoods individually and just love these folks because that is where the root of the church will be. He said, we can't go into the neighborhood and tell them everything they're doing wrong. We can't go into Chelsea and say, hey, you guys in the artist community, you're kind of following this kind of pagan ritual of whatever, do whatever you want to do whenever you want to do it. You got to change because that's wrong. He said, no, we got to go in there with love and serve him. Just like we have to go into the suburban communities in Queens and in the different boroughs surrounding Manhattan and say, we love you. Like, what can we do to serve you? Because Paul's reminding this church in Ephesus that you who are rooted and established in love, and that's the beginning of it. I grew up, that is the church's true north. In fact, it says it, that Christ is love, right? Christ doesn't love, God doesn't love. Who God is love. That's our true north. I grew up in a family that had a grandfather, the patriarch of one side of the family. And it was really the only grandfather I had a relationship with, who was in some ways bigger than life. I mean, he was about 5'6" and about 120 pounds, but in a lot of ways he was bigger than life. You couldn't go anywhere in Spartanburg, which is where I grew up, without, and they played music just like this whenever he'd walk around. It was amazing. No, I'm just kidding. But whenever you went anywhere, I mean, you go to the mall, you go to any shop, you go to any restaurant, and if you were with my granddad, people knew him everywhere. He could not walk through the mall. He couldn't walk through a store. He couldn't go to a restaurant without at least 3 or 4 or 5 people coming up talking to Wesley, or sometimes they called him Reverend Dixon, or he was in the Pentecost Holiness Church, so they called him Brother Dixon, right? I don't know if you guys went to a church where they called everybody brother, but that's how it was at his church. Everybody was either brother or sister or whatever. And so sometimes it would be that. Some people knew him through his insurance business. Some people knew him through his little small country church. But wherever he went in Spartanburg, everybody knew him. And as you got older and you went out with him more and people got to know you, at some point you begin to identify as Wesley's family. And being a part of Wesley's family carried a certain identity with it, but it all, which was good in some regards, so I could go to the tire shop and get a discount on tires because of Wesley, right? Which was a good thing. But it also meant if you were out doing things you shouldn't do, people would know it because you were Wesley's kid, and that wasn't what the family was supposed to be. And it's kind of like that with this. Paul's reminding, like, you're rooted and established in love. Like, this is where it begins. Like, this is your family. This is the patriarch of our family. God is the father of us all. And this is who he is. He loves. Remember who you are. I don't know if you've ever seen, surely everybody in here has had someone in their life who was young enough to have seen The Lion King. My kids have recently gotten into it. I kind of forgotten it. But as my sons are now watching it in the van when we go to long road trips, there's this really cool scene when the little lion, who I can't remember his name, has grown up into a bigger lion at this point. And his dad's been dead. Some of y'all are saying names. I can't hear you. So whoever that is, just remember his name, right? And he sees his vision and he says, remember whose you are. He's telling, or was it the monkey that said that? I'm getting it confused now because I just hear it. I actually can't see it. But there's this line when he's kind of got this confusion and the pride land has now been taken over by this bad uncle and everything's in disarray and they just want him to come back and he's scared and he's fearful and he's got this voice speaking to him. Whoever it is saying it, it all sounds like voices to me. But whoever's saying it says, remember whose you are. This is whose son you are. Paul is writing this to this church. Remember, you're rooted and established in love. Let that be what marks you. So I pray that you who are being rooted and established in love may have power. Together with all the Lord's holy people, not just you individually, but all of us collectively have this same power. And that power gives us the ability to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge. And I can't even contemplate that, and that's kind of the point. Paul's saying you can't even figure it out because it surpasses your knowledge. Think of the most loving thing. And we have examples of that all the time, and people try to bring up different people. You sometimes hear Mother Teresa or St. Francis or Gandhi or whoever it is that you know, Martin Luther King Jr., whoever it is that you look to that says this person embodied love. This person was loving. It may be a family member. Whoever it is, and then go back past that. And then when you think you figured it out, you realize, I can't because it surpasses knowledge. That God loves me that deeply, and he loves us that deeply, and that's what we're rooted in. And he says, I hope that you have the power to understand this. I pray that you have the power to understand this so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. And this is true for us in human relationships, but especially when it comes to this kind of supernatural deal. That when you understand how much you've been loved, it's a filling kind of thing. You're no longer wanting more. At the heart of each of us, that's what we want, is to be accepted and loved. And like Paul's saying, this is it. Like, this is the big deal. It's wide and it's high and it's long and it's deep and you can't even comprehend it. And when you realize that it's that grandiose, even though you can't quite wrap your whole mind around it, so that's what fills you. That you would be filled to all the measure of the fullness of God. And as he closes, as we are this morning, he even attempts to describe God in this kind of closing of this prayer for these Ephesians. And he says these words in 20 and 21, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power. But he doesn't stop. He said, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Paul brings this thing home about how big God is and who we are in him and that we're rooted in that. And he says, now I'm praying all this to the one who is able to do immeasurably more than all that we can ask or think or imagine. And each of us in this room, whether we believe in the goodness of God or not, have at some point prayed out for some higher being to intervene on our behalf for whatever it is. Sometimes it's something trivial. Sometimes it's something really important. But we've all reached out to God and said, God, you know, job interview. You know, God, my family has cancer. Whoever you are out there in the universe, I need something because I realize I've gotten to the end of myself and I can't do it to change whatever it is. And some of it, it comes out of our mouth just because we're at our wits' end and we realize that and it just blurts out. And I think Paul's hope is that more than anything that we can ask or imagine. And it's that power that's at work within us. And the good news for all of us, whether we've been a believer for 50 years or we're not at all, is that we see examples of God's power working in people throughout the scriptures before they ever even knew God. I brought it up before. But if you look at the scriptures and these disciples that walk with Jesus, he sent them out and they did some, they saw Jesus do some wild and radical things, miracles that God worked through them, through Jesus, and then they were able to do it too. In Luke 9, he sends them out and tells them to go and heal the sick and raise the dead and kind of all this kind of stuff. It sends, man, it's crazy. And then they come back and they say, God, we did it. But then we go fast forward to the end of Matthew when Jesus is about to ascend, and it says that they're there on the side of the mountain, and some of them still didn't believe. But God still worked through them. And so that's good news for us all. But our hope and my prayer for all of us is that we would believe. Not only believe in the power of God that saved us, but believe that the power of God still works within us to do immeasurably more than we can ask or think or imagine. And so this morning as we come forward for communion, that's what I want to encourage you with. You may be in a place in your life that you need God's power. And what I would like to remind you in that place is that it is there. And that God is able to do immeasurably more than all you ask, think, or imagine. You may be in a place in your life where you're disbelieving that. And what I would like to remind you is it's not your mind that is eventually going to wrap around. It's the power of God revealing himself to you that even allows you to know this God, which is fantastic news. And so my prayer for you guys this morning is that you would begin to grasp that, live into that, that we would all together realize the power that lies within us, that we may be people who pray better, that we may be people who love better, that we may be people who serve better. Not because we're good at all. In fact, Paul's laid it out pretty sufficiently. We're not, but God is. And so my prayer this morning is not that you know how good God is, or that you have this, or not that you know how good you are, or you have this knowledge, but that you know that God is good. He's so good. And he loves us so unconditionally, which is the good part that I can't even wrap my brain around because mine is very conditional, right? So that's our prayer. And so this morning, James is going to lead us in one more song. We're going to share in communion. And so pray with me. God, I am thankful for an opportunity this morning come before a good Father who loves us, who loves me more than I can even imagine. And God, I pray that you would help give us the power to know how high and wide and deep is your love. May that sink deep into our hearts that you love us. And God, would you give us a burden for other people to know that same love, that they may, if they don't yet, that they may come to know through your power how amazing and great your love is. Pray that you would convict us, that you would move our hearts. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaicbeasley.org.